Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If I were to mention the names of certain disciples to you and ask you to write down the first word that comes into your mind, it's unlikely that you would come up with the same word. But if I were to mention the name of Judas, many of you would write down what word? Betray or betrayer. But not all of you. Or if I were to mention the name Simon Peter, some of you would write down the word faith, but not all of you. If I were to mention the names of James and John, some of you would write down sons of thunder, but not all of you. But then if I were to mention the name Thomas, there's a little question that most of you would probably write down one word, the word doubt, although maybe not all of you. Yes, so closely have we associated Thomas with that word of doubt that we've even coined a phrase, haven't we? We describe people as doubting Thomases when they doubt something. Yes, we might be interested to know that in the first three Gospels, we're told absolutely nothing about Thomas at all. It's only here in John's Gospel, from which we get our Gospel reading today, that Thomas emerges as a distinct personality. But even then, there were only 155 words about Thomas in John's Gospel. Yes, there's not a lot about this disciple, Thomas, in the Bible, but there's more than one description of him. We get one this morning in our Gospel reading. But earlier, when Jesus had turned his face to Jerusalem, the disciples thought that that would mean certain death for Jesus and for all of them. And surprisingly, it was Thomas who said, "Then let us go so that we may die with him." A courageous statement Thomas made, isn't it? Let us go also so that we might die with him. But do we even remember that about Thomas, his willingness to go and to Jerusalem even and to face death with Jesus? Yes, we also fail to point that out in the story of Thomas's doubt. We have that one place in the Gospels where the divinity of Jesus is bluntly and unequivocally stated. It's interesting, is it not, that here in this story that is given Thomas's infamous nickname, that of Doubting Thomas, it's the same story in which Thomas makes an earth-shattering confession of faith. When he sees Jesus, he declares, "My Lord and my God." Not teacher, not Messiah, not merely Lord, but God. It's the only place where Jesus is called God without equivocation and qualification. Thomas utters it with complete conviction, as though he were recognizing a fact, like 2 + 2 = 4, or the sun is in the sky. He says, "You are my Lord and my God." These are certainly not the words of a doubter, are they? But ultimately, history has remembered him as that doubter because of what took place in that room in a house in Jerusalem. But remember what led up to this instance with Thomas, being described as doubting Thomas. The 10 disciples, the 12, less Judas, who had taken his life, and Thomas, who was someplace else for some reason, the 10 disciples were behind locked doors, hiding out because of fear of the Jews. Oh, the Jews, they had gotten rid of their master, their Lord, their teacher. Now what? Are they going to come and search for the rest of us, that rabble band of his followers? Are our lives on the line as well? And so they were hiding out of fear of what might happen to them. Yes, imagine the discussions that were going on there in that room. What's next? Are we going to stick together? Are we all going to go back our own ways? Are we, some of us, going to go back fishing? Does Matthew say, "I wonder if I can get my job again with the government and be a tax collector"? And then, too, what did those women say? They were to the tomb this morning, and they said it was empty. They saw an angel who said Jesus was alive. then Peter and John would have said, yes, we ran to the tomb and we looked in too, and all we saw were the burial cloths. It was empty. Yes, their doubts, their bewilderment. What do we do now? Where do we go? What's going to happen? And then it is that Jesus appears to them with that greeting of peace be with you. And then he did what Thomas asked for. The disciples had also got to do. Jesus showed them what? His hands and his side. To erase their doubts. To show to them that he truly was that one who was crucified but was alive. They got to see the nail marks in Jesus' hands. They got to see his side where the spear had pierced. The same proofs that Thomas longed for, they got to see before Thomas did. And their fears were turned to gladness as they saw that Jesus was alive. And then they maybe remembered his words that he said, yes, he would be risen from the dead. And again, Jesus gives that greeting of peace be with you. He reminds them again that God's peace would be with them. And he said, receive the Holy Spirit as he sends them out, as he gives to them the office of the keys, that authority to pronounce and share God's forgiveness, sealed through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross and by his rising again. That message of forgiveness for the sins of all who confess. That's what happened a week before this instance with Thomas. Then it was 8 days later, Thomas is there with the disciples, the rest of them. Thomas, who had said, unless I see for myself the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger there and I can stick my hand into his side, I'm not going to believe what you tell me. And 8 days later, Jesus appears with that same greeting, peace. Peace be with you. And he shows the same proofs to Thomas that he did to the other 10. Here are my hands. Stick your finger in if you have to. Here's my side. Put your hand there if you need to. And then it is that Thomas makes that confession of faith as he declares who Jesus is. My Lord and my God. That God who stooped into our world of sin and darkness to be our Savior. The God is the only one who could bear that burden of our sin and pay it in full with his once and for all sacrifice on Calvary's cross. That God who created life in the beginning, who creates new life through the power of his resurrection, is standing there before Thomas. That God who is a God of life and mercy. And Thomas makes that confession, my Lord and my God. As faith became sight, as he saw and believed. But then Jesus goes on to say, yes, you believe because you've seen me. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. That's you, isn't it? You're here this morning. You haven't yet seen Jesus' nails-marked hands or his spear-pierced side. But you're here this morning because you have believed in that one who is Lord and God. And what does he bring to us and to you this morning again? That same greeting of peace. Peace be with you. That peace that only Jesus can bring to us as he brings the peace of his presence with us wherever we are gathered, two or three in his name. He promises that he is there with us and even that he will be with us even to the very end of the age. He is here again with that assurance of his forgiveness as we come not lying to him or to ourselves, as we confess our sin and in his grace and his love, he has forgiven our sin. And he's here again to bless us with that gift and promise of eternal life. That's why we have peace. That peace of his forgiveness, that joyous peace of life eternal. Yes, John says, Jesus did a lot of other things that I could have put in this book, but there's more and more than I could have put in here. But he said, what I have written for a reason. So that you may believe in that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name. Yes, we share in that confession of Thomas, don't we? We believe because of the witness of the Scriptures, the witness of faith, that faith of Thomas. Yes, our doubts are erased. Thomas's confession is ours. As we say of Jesus, not your Lord, but my Lord. Not your God, but my God. As together we share in that common confession of faith that Jesus is my Savior, my Lord, my God, who gave Himself for me and lives for me, and I will live with Him one day. And that brings us peace. Even as we face the trials of life, whether it be surgery that lies before us, or the death of a loved one, or even our own failing health in different things, we have that peace of Christ that goes with us, knowing that His forgiveness is there, and that gift and promise of eternal life is ours. And we can go forth with His peace to walk in the light as He is the light of the world. Amen. And now may that peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.